Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, just like every week, Spencer Allen, and I am joined by my co-host, the person that says that the newest Pokemon game is the third best one ever made, Wes Singleton.
I mean, everyone who knows that I love Pokemon Mystery Dungeon will know that there's no way this game was ever unseating Explorers of Sky. So, and then I will just personally be a stick in the mud about my favorite versions of the Johto stories.
I have to know before we get too far in this. We are going to be talking about the new Pokemon. We're going to be talking about Legends Arceus. But one of the new things I forgot to add to the show notes is that we're supposed to like catch up. You know, this is our chance to catch up. I have two questions now. My first question is, do you not feel like the new Pokemon Mystery Dungeon is just better since it has all of them?
It doesn't have all of them.
Does it not have...
Like all the Pokemon?
No, it doesn't have... It has all the Mystery Dungeons combined into one game, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh. What's the... Is it...
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX is just Rescue Team.
It's just Rescue Team.
Yeah.
Oh. I've not finished it yet, so I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games in one game would be hype, but
sure.
Also that would be an overwhelming game to program and to play, actually,
sure.
Because that, one Mystery Dungeon game is kind of a forever process anyways.
That's fair. That makes sense that, now that I think of how the Mystery Dungeon games work, that it makes sense that it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Nintendo Direct that was... literally yesterday?
The Kirby thing looks sweet. I'm hoping I will have the wherewithal to play Chrono Cross. The news that I was happiest about was just a date set again for Advanced Wars Reboot Camp, but that's like neither here nor there.
Well, I mean, one of the things that you were the most excited for in our podcast getting ready for this year was Triangle Strategy.
That's true. That game is going to be fun.
And
I don't think I saw the trailer for it that was in the Direct yet.
Man, if you had only just looked in the He's a Game Media Discord where I tagged you, you would know, West, that you can actually play the first three chapters of that game for free in a demo, and it transfers your save data.
See, but that has nothing to do with the Nintendo Direct, as per my knowledge, what was in the Nintendo Direct.
That was in the Nintendo Direct.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I only saw Twitter coverage.
All right. It was a pretty good Direct. I thought that it was one of the better Directs. I mean, it's easily the best Direct in years, right? Since the first one in years. But one of the things...
In a year?
Is it only been a year?
There was one last summer.
Okay. Are you sure it was a full Direct?
It was a full Direct. This is the one that had Metroid Dread in it, the one that had Super
okay.
Monkey Ball, the one that had WarioWare.
Okay.
We did a whole episode on it.
I believe that is probably true. The things that excited me the most were, like, the number of awesome ports coming to the Switch. I know people, like, don't get hyped for ports, but, like...
I mean, portals, right? Like, that's, exactly the one,
dude,
you're referring to?
That one is so hype. I have not beaten the Portal games. Like, I've played them, but I am actually super hyped for those. Like...
Honestly, the Switch's magic is how often it can get me to pull my wallet out for a game I've already bought.
Yeah, I literally would just pay the Switch premium. Like I had to be like episode 3 of this podcast that when Mikey and Mason were co-hosts, where, you know, we talked about our favorite video game systems, and like this, I would have never guessed something could eclipse the SP for me, and the Switch does it in spades. If they ever put Game Boy Advanced on Nintendo Switch Online, like, I will lose my freaking mind.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I trying to find my tweet that I made yesterday about this. I swear I made a tweet about this. Oh, I did. Here it is. Yeah, we got the Triangle Strategy demo. Earthbound coming to the Switch is super hype. A new Mario Strikers
That one's hype. That one is such a good party game. I loved playing Super Mario Strikers.
Dude, and it's like 8 players now instead of 4. Like, this is...
The number of players on a system is pretty irrelevant to me, a person who can't get 8 friends in a space, and if I was, I would be doing other things.
You'd be drafting Magic the Gathering? Yeah, sure. No Man's Sky porting to the Switch is super hype to me. I've been playing that on my Xbox. Valheim in space, single player, that I can just do in bed, sounds dope to me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Portal was on my list.
That was cool.
Also, I don't know if you have the Switch 64, but, like, I own Mario Kart, so, like, 48 new tracks is pretty dope. Pretty dope.
Oh, for Deluxe.
For Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, yeah.
I do have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, yeah.
Yeah, you have to pay for the DLC unless you have the 64 expansion pass.
Oh, I do not have that, and I am pretty unmoved by new tracks, unfortunately.
Interesting. I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a 64 gamer more than, like, most people, but, like, that was my system growing up, so it was pretty easy sell for me.
64 missed me almost entirely as a game player.
Well, yeah, that's I've been sick for 3 days, so I don't really have a lot to talk about other than that. But you know what, I know, but I was at work until 5:30, and now I'm podcasting. Oh, sure. So.
No. I've done so far is do a draft and win a game. I've done nothing else yet, but I'm excited about it. It's what I'm doing after this show.
Yeah, I believe that. Nerd fact of the week, though. I actually did not know this one. Did you know this one?
I'm not even looking at it right now, Spencer, so hit me.
In the original Pokemon games, the Nidorino that is shown to you as a Pokemon, like what a Pokemon is.
Like the not the one that's battling the Gengar in the
No. The one that Professor Oak throws the Pokeball and says this is a Pokemon. Has Nidorina's cry.
Really? That's a good example of quality analysis being important. Or quality assurance.
I had no idea. And then I found a video of it happening. And now I'm a little shooketh. My whole life is a lie.
Did you know that Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green is still the best-selling Pokemon game of all time?
What?
Yeah.
How is that true? There's no way that's true.
I think the re-releases for the DS count.
Oh, when they count the emulation.
The 3DS
emulations.
Yeah. Sword and Shield just maneuvered into second place.
I'm a little shocked by that. You would think that the order would literally be like, I could believe that Gold and Silver were number one.
Gold and Silver were good. But no, I was looking at this.
That's a little shocking. While you're looking that up, I'm going to do the housekeeping really quick. Don't forget to join the Discord. If you like having this talk, you want to have these type of conversations with other nerds, head on over to the He's a Gaming Day Discord where you can join the nerdy conversation. You can also head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/He's a Gaming Media. Support this show and everything else that we're doing across all of it, whether it's constructive criticism, this show, everything. You can support everything at once by going over there, and it really help out. Also, constructive criticism, one of the podcasts we parent, is that how that He's a Game Media parents, I don't know how to say that, is doing their open series. So we brought back the open series, and there's links to join via MTG Melee. They're doing an alchemy tournament. 148 number of people that can be registered. West, I'd love to see you compete, slinging your magic guns.
My digital magic guns.
You do enough drafts. You probably have all the cards. Yeah, I was gonna say you could probably compete. It's a $10 entry fee for those who are not $10 and above patrons. And if you're of CCMTG,
or like just a friend of the show, right? Like I get in for free, right? Just by being a Easy Game Media like celebrity. That's a joke. I'm happy to pay my money.
But I'm excited to bring these events back. They were a big hit before I quit Magic and came back, and hopefully we can make them a big hit again. So
sweet.
All right, main topic. First of all, give me the list. I got to hear this list.
Oh, number one, Red, Green, Blue, 31 million copies.
Okay.
Number two, Sword and Shield, 23.9 million copies. Number three, Gold and Silver, 23.7 million copies. It looks like next place is actually Diamond and Pearl with...
Wait, hold on. What was the number you gave me for Gold and Silver? Or for
23.9 for Sword and Shield, 23.7 for Gold and Silver.
According to Wikipedia, the best-selling Pokemon game of all time is, in fact, Pokemon Gold, Silver, Crystal, with 20...
Oh, it doesn't count if you're going to roll them together.
Okay, so they gave Crystal a different number by itself?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, that's why these numbers are wrong.
And even then, Red, Green, Blue plus Yellow should be smashing. With somewhere in the realm of 45 million
copies. This one also... This list also has Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon with Pokemon Sun.
Yeah, so looking at it individually by game, almost all of the re-releases are like among the worst selling.
That makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, you know,
with Yellow being the notable exception.
Yeah, because Yellow was dope.
Yeah, Yellow was great.
You know what's great is this game. Let's talk about this game.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this game.
What is this Pokemon Legends?
Pokemon Legends Arceus. is a historical account. It's just like reading a history book. It's really actually quite boring. We should just end this show right now. No. Pokemon Legends Arceus takes many innovations from all over the franchise, looking at you, Pokemon Let's Go, and rolls it into one beautiful game. This is the Pokemon entry into the open world model. It's trying its best to be Breath of the Wild. It has you sneaking up on Pokemon from behind. It has you researching each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Seriously, though, people are scared of the power of Pokemon in this game. It's sweet. It's funny. The Hisui region is full of memorable favorites and even some new Pokemon. A massive departure from the traditional Pokemon games. Legends has surprises for beginners and masters alike.
I love it. Let's talk about expectations going in. I want to popcorn this, but I don't know who should go first.
Okay. One easy place to put our expectations going in was starters, right? We knew our starters going in, right? I picked, you had yours picked.
The thing is,
did you switch?
So we knew Rowlet, us, no, it wasn't us. It was Oshawott?
Mm-hmm.
And
Cyndaquil.
But then we got the dual typing for
Are we talking about our expectations going in or what happened?
But that was my expectation going in because that was announced before the game came out.
I was surprised.
You didn't know going in?
Yeah, I didn't look.
Oh my gosh.
I was shocked when I evolved.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you go first. What were your expectations going in?
Oh, what did I expect going in? I basically had none. I knew that I was going to go on a wild romp with a Cyndaquil. After that point, I basically just I know that expectations are oftentimes the place where people find their disappointment. And so when I have a thing that I want to love, I try and put as little into my expectations about it as possible. I expected to throw Pokeballs at things. I expected to be attacked by Pokemon. I expected Stantler to be a big part of my time in the game because I knew Wordier was cool. And I know that I love Stantler as a Pokemon and always have.
Question, is that a new Pokemon? The Stantler
Wordier
evolution?
Or Stantler?
Wordier.
New Pokemon.
Okay. Because
Nope, you did not get Mandela Effect.
I was like, is this... Because, well, I also love Stantler, but I always didn't like that it didn't evolve. And then, this thing shows up in the preview, and I was like, well, that's not Arceus. What is that? And then, like, you know, figuring out, I was like, am I stupid? Like, did I not know how to evolve my Scantler as a child?
Well, you might not know how to do it in this game, because it's kind of hard, actually.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. So you had no expectations going in. I want to highlight something really quick, because I think Wes just gave you listeners really good life advice, which is, to not have expectations going into something you want to love is the best way to love it.
That's true.
Expectations of
relationships, children, Star Wars movies.
Star Wars movies is a great example. I'm going to give one an example that I don't think many people expect, because I had this theory about this as a young man, and there was this movie coming out. It was called Ender's Game, and I had not read a book called Ender's Game before.
Oh.
And I thought,
you liked the movie.
So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to read the book. I went into that movie and I left that movie. I thought it was fantastic. I loved the movie. I then went home, read Ender's Game, and was like, book's not as good.
I don't know. There's a lot more children beating each other up in the
book. Yeah, Ender's a murderer in the book. Like, he just...
self-defense. In Florida, that guy's perfectly fine.
Another example of this is Ready Player One. I replicated this. I said, you know what? It worked for Ender's Game. Watched the movie Ready Player One first. Loved the movie. Then read the book. Loved the book. Was like... both are great, separate entities. I can love multiple things. Okay. Guess what? Having no expectations is really helpful. I also tried to have pretty little expectations because I had seen the spoiler of specifically Typhlosion. Actually, we should talk about this. I already don't like Typhlosion. I think that he is... Well, actually, all three of those final evolutions...
You're on thin ice with me right now, all right. Spencer, because you know I love those Johto starters.
So, the Johto starters have a problem where they are the coolest starters. The cool... except for Croconaw's not as good in the second line.
Oh, Croconaw's sweet.
The second line is also some of the coolest. And then, I just think Meganium, Fralligator, and Typhlosion are like... it's not... they just looked the worst of, like... I don't know. They just bugged me. And Typhlosion was my least favorite of the three. Even though Quilava is my favorite of the three middle stage.
Well, you never have to evolve your Quilava if you don't want to,
Spencer. I literally don't.
Actually, about half the time, I think my Typhlosion would have been better without having died to dark and ghost-type attacks the entire game.
So I learned about the dual typing, and then when I saw that for some reason they changed Decidueye,
yeah,
I legit thought, do I want this ugly Decidueye? They took away like one of my actual favorite Pokemon from me.
It's like evolving your Quilladin for the first time. Yeah, I know that feeling.
Decidueye was already, like, top three sweetest final evolution. Why would you change that? That was my expectation going in, is I can't believe...
They put in an existing type triangle on top of it, is what it was, right? Ghost, Fighting, and Dark.
Right.
Wait, no, that doesn't even make sense. Ghost is actually, like, just the loser. I mean, it's not super effective against fighting, but it doesn't take damage from it.
Yeah, I don't know. So going in, I was like, alright, well, I'm sad about my Decidueye, but there's so much cool going on here. A lot of people harp on graphics and stuff going into video games, and like, I was like, I don't have any expectations. I was also blind until like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, so...
Yeah, graphics really didn't matter.
Yeah, I actually... never noticed how pixelated this TV that I play my Switch on is until I got my new contacts, and I was like, well, I need a new TV. Like, I hate this. Just running 720 because I couldn't tell the difference before. But overall, like going into this, my expectations were pretty close to similar. Like, I knew about new variants of different Pokemon, right? We knew about Growlithe and stuff like that from the trailer, and that was about it. I think that one of my expectations going in, though, was like, I wanted to be able to catch Pokemon in new ways. Like, I expected to be able to do that. And that definitely came true for
me. Hugely delivered.
Yeah. And, I don't know, kind of explore the world. One of the things, one of my problems with the wild area in, we'll just go into this.
Sword and Shield?
Yeah, just the whole, my whole problem with Sword and Shield is that everything felt half-baked. It was like, the story was half-baked, the wild area was half-baked, the open worldness was half-baked. Like, it's like, I feel like you could not decide what you wanted this game to be, so you just, you like, put a bunch of ideas in a hat, pull them out.
I know of a certain Star Wars television show this sounds like.
Which one?
The newest one. The one finished yesterday.
Yeah, I would.
I digress.
There's anyway. I don't know. It just was all. I had a real problem with Sword and Shield. Like, it was just so sad because, like, after X and Y, like, I didn't play, I just had stopped playing Pokemon. X and Y is, like, one of my favorite games of all time. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I bought a DS just to play it because everybody's like, it's the best Pokemon game since.
And that game felt followed through on every single
game. Oh, yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't like the changes to the games with Sun and Moon. I thought, you know, I'm just a little. I get what you're doing. It's a little off-brand for me.
How you can look at all of these like individual choices they've been making in Pokemon games in the last few years, and like things they were trying that were new and like were kind of okay in those games, and then like
yeah, we're gonna get into this.
To them here,
yeah, we're gonna get into this. And I think Sword and Shield is like the perfect example of like they showed. They like are like, hey, here, try this, and people were like, no, you're not listening. We want this other thing, and then they're like, okay,
yeah,
here you go. So let's go into overall impressions. We clearly neither of us had like a ton of I was actually not expecting a lot. Like,
you kind of thought you might be disappointed.
No, I didn't think I could be disappointed. I literally still haven't bought the DLC for Sword and Shield.
Sure.
Like I just like. I was pretty upset. Like
I haven't either, for what it's worth.
That's impressive, because like you love Pokemon. That says a lot. I think
I don't know any of the Pokemon that are in the DLC either, so it's really funny when they show up in front of me these days.
Yeah, like it's so interesting, because like I'm pretty sure in the DLC you get to like pick between like a Blastoise and a Squirtle and a Bulbasaur or something too. So, but the thing is like. After being disappointed by Sun and Moon, and after being disappointed by Sword and Shield, like, I don't even own a copy of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. I don't even own one. I really wanted... I wanted to go into this saying, like, you know what? If I just get a jump on top of a mountain and throw a Pokeball at the back of some stupid Pokemon's head that I don't like and not have it catch, that'll be worth, like...
Yeah.
You know what? Dink... But man, it my overall impression, the high level look at this is it far exceeded my expectations. Because they were so low. Like I'd just been disappointed recently, and I don't know that they Breath of the Wild Pokemon. I don't even know that that's what happened. Like people like to make that joke, right? And like, but
they really do put the hang glider in the wrong part of the game. I'll tell you that.
I'm actually playing Breath of the Wild right now with Maxwell, and we just got the hang glider last week, this last weekend.
And it's the best thing ever.
And you know, it opens up the world for you, right? But one of the things that this game does so differently is my overall impression of this game so far. And I'll just say this right at the start: I have I was gonna pull it up on my Switch. I have not beaten the game. I have beaten the Ursa Rings.
Ursa Luna,
and gone a little bit past that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the highest level look that I could give this game is what 10-year-old Spencer wanted Pokemon to be. Like, when I saw Pokemon Stadium for the first time and saw my first 3D Pokemon, I thought, this is it. This is the future. The next game is going to be...
all 3D Pokemon.
Is going to be Quest 64 Pokemon Edition, right? Like, you know what Quest 64 is, Wes? No. It's... okay. I can't think of a...
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, for those who got that reference, leave a comment in the YouTube. But yeah, I expected open world RPG Pokemon moving forward. And, you know, the next thing that we got was really good, right? It was freaking,
Snap, Gold and Silver.
Gold and Silver. Oh,
Gold and Silver out. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I meant Pokemon Stadium after Pokemon Stadium 2. I was expecting, like, when the...
okay.
I am 10 hours in, for what it's worth.
Sounds right.
If I showed 11-year-old Spencer this game, I think he'd crap his pants.
I damn near crap my pants.
Like, I think he'd crap his pants. And I don't really know what to say in this section, Wes, so I'm going to let you... because I my expectations were so low.
Yeah.
Can I just say really quickly, though, that that's Game Freak's fault for always delivering, like, the bare minimum for year after year after year after year after year?
Well, I will say that, thank goodness, Game Freak decided to take 3 off for this one. Because I don't think they could have done it with any less than what they had.
I'm not going to do it because, like, I don't have time tomorrow during editing, but I want to, like insert applause into the podcast. Because, like, you went from this formula where you're releasing a game, I don't know what, like, every...
No, it's a lot of growth, for sure.
Like, they just started pumping out games instead. Keep talking.
Sure. So, you're 10 hours in, I beat the game at about 30 hours, and I don't feel that I went fast. I do know that as I got closer to the end of the game, I started ignoring more and more, like, side objectives and, like, looking at things, mostly because I knew I'd be able to come back once I beat the game, because whatever, right? And even then, I didn't exactly move through the last area quickly. It's a really clean game on a lot of fronts. The way that you observe, plan how you're going to interact with Pokemon to catch them is really good. It's fun. The battle system is unlike anything Pokemon has given us yet. It feels closest, I would say, and even then it's not entirely similar to how Pokemon Mystery Dungeon fighting works. The system, if you have not yet played the game, and Spencer, maybe this will help you, like, get it a little bit better, right, is it's entirely, like, when you have priority, you have all the time, you can make your choice, and their choice for what they're going to do on their turn is never made until after you have gone.
Yeah, this is really helpful. I realized this...
like, there's no predictive switching in this.
Yeah, that's a really good point. This game actually does a pretty good job of tips and tricks. Like, it'll give you a tip live as something's happening. So, I actually figured this out because it said, press this button to see the turn order. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And, like...
Yeah, and have you noticed that, like, as you're playing around with strong style...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was...
It, like, shifts things up and down.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next is, like, it really... And one of the nice things is you can, like, leave it on and, like, play with it to look at different things. But it is a different combat system, but, like... a familiar combat system, if that makes sense.
Well, it's far more similar to like action RPGs, right? Like it's if you're like a fan, a Final Fantasy fan, this is kind of a familiar system to you. And like other things that I think are kind of unique about it are that like Pokemon hit hard in this game, like all the way through this game.
Right?
Like, I'll think I have a type advantage. I'll think like I'm over leveled compared to this thing, and it'll still just like if it goes before my Pokemon, just Mack truck.
Yeah, this is a huge. We'll get into this later, but I have some thoughts on this.
Well, and a big part of it is that you're not supposed to fight wild Pokemon in this game. Like that's not where your energy is supposed to go. You're supposed to catch Pokemon in this game.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to catch. So there are these alpha Pokemon out in the wild, right? Like there are these like big glowing red-eyed Pokemon.
So can I tell a story about this?
Yeah.
So, well, tell them what an alpha Pokemon is and then I'll tell you a story.
Oh, sure. And they're usually very over-leveled for your area. And they're strong. They often come with moves different than their level up moves, which is something that you should be excited about and is interesting to do. They also come with an automatic 331 IVs, which is represented as like a 3 in the stats of the game. IVs are stats are weird in this game. Mostly, it's actually kind of like gold silver-ish in that like how EVs worked in gold silver, where like you can just max out everything if you put enough resources in.
Yeah, so you kind of pick up these things that let you upgrade your EVs on your Pokemon, and they start with some number of these when you catch.
Between 0 and 3. 3 represents a 31. 0 represents like a 31 IV. 0 represents like a 0 to 21 IVs, and it's like 5 IVs up for 2 for 1 and 5 more IVs for 2.
Yep. So the story behind this is the very first. This is actually the. The first alpha Pokemon I saw, I wasn't paying attention. I was playing with Maxwell, and I like died to a Snorlax attacking me. I was just like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, like just one after another, every single one of your Pokemon got knocked out, basically.
No, I didn't even pull out a Pokemon. Like it just
attacked
hit
you.
It
That's
attacked
awesome.
Me.
That's funny. I love that.
So, but I'm on TikTok at you know like I am every night, and somebody gave a tip for how to catch alpha Pokemon, and it was like you know you throw a some item I don't have yet at them.
Smoke balls. They're good. Use them a lot.
Is it a smoke ball? Well, I happen to had some mud clots on me. I haven't even beaten the first boss yet. There's this area that always has the same. I'm just going to pull up the Pokemon because I'm so bad with new Pokemon names.
Bibarel, Rapidash.
Oh, the one you just said. What was
Bibarel?
Floatzel.
Oh, Floatzel, sure, yeah.
So, and also, I don't know why it does this. Maybe this could be one of the tips and tricks you give us. But when you're battling, there's like a top bar that comes across the screen that's black. And I don't know why.
Like, limits your field of view?
Yeah, so I didn't know what level this thing was.
It's not that. It's that your player's character, you can move around during fights.
Right.
And if you like run back, then the level comes into frame.
There's like a black bar. I'll send you a screenshot later. But anyway, so I threw a mud ball and walked behind it, threw a Pokeball, and it worked.
Yeah.
And I think my Pokemon were like.
And you got like a 20 level higher Pokemon than anything you had at the time.
Oh, way higher. Yeah, it was level 31. My highest level Pokemon at the time was my starter that was level 12.
Yeah.
And for context, this you don't actually level 30 Pokemon won't even listen to you until after you're a level 3. You have 3 stars.
We actually should probably this is actually a good point to pause at.
Yeah, well yeah, let's talk about kind of the system really quick.
Yeah. So you are a researcher, right? You're living in a town that takes you in after you fall out of the sky, right? You're classic, like no name, no dialogue, no backstory protagonist, totally empty of like identity.
Dude, you have way more actual dialogue in this game than any Pokemon game previously.
That's true. But you like have you've got no history in this place, right? Everything you're meeting for the first time. And you're joining this survey corps, which job is to like find out how Pokemon tick because we're scared of them, but we think they could be useful. And you're filling out a Pokedex. But the way you fill out a Pokedex, it's not like the first time you see a Pokemon, it's seen, and then you catch it and it's good, right? You get your full entry then. It's you have to get to research level 10 with that Pokemon, which represents getting 10 points worth of tasks. And tasks start there, like there'll be 5 or 7 or somewhere in that range tasks with like successive numbers of things you've done with them. And they get, you know, like it's often like 1, 2, 4, 6 or like 1, 3, 5, 8. Like, you know, it's more and more the deeper you go. So you want to complete different tasks because it's easier than going deep into one single task. And some tasks are worth 2 points and doing those is great. It kind of tells you like where the Pokemon's emphasis is. And it's like the number you've caught. For some Pokemon, it's like caught without them seeing you, or times you've seen them use a move, or defeated them with a certain type of move because it's their weakness.
Yeah, I'll just read off some. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I just have the game up. So we got number caught, right? So, you know, this ranges from 1 to, it goes from 1 to 2 to 4 to 10 to 15. This is Ponyta's for what it's worth, for those wondering. Number of heavy species you've caught.
Their individuals have different weights necessarily.
Right. Just like in a normal Pokemon game, like if you...
Biggest Magikarp.
Yeah, exactly. Number defeated, right? So this is 1, 2, 4, 10, 15 also. The heavy species is a little bit different. That one was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
They're less common. No way to guarantee it.
Number you've defeated with water type moves, meaning its main weakness, right? 1, 2, 4, 6, 10. Number of time you've seen it use a specific move. This one wanted you to see Ember. So for example, I am level I've seen my Ponyta use Ember 12 times. I need to get to 25 for the next level. But now I have Flame Wheel, so I'm gonna use Ember a little bit less unless I just want to go battle a bunch of Pokemon and use Ember. Number of time you've given it food. Something Spencer can't figure out how to do in the game and was going to ask West about. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Investigate a sighting of an unusual Ponyta. This is a special quest for this one, but yeah.
You should do that quest, by the way.
Because you get the Ponyta with like the blue hair, right?
You get a shiny Ponyta.
I know. I don't know where to find it.
Yeah, you have to go find it.
All right.
I haven't found it, actually. I've kind of ignored that quest.
Well, there's a person's name in the quest. Anyway, so like those are the type of research tasks that you have, right? You get different things. And what's cool is you don't even have to catch a Pokemon for these tasks to start to happen. So like,
You can't check off a Pokemon until you've caught at least one of its species.
Thank you. That is, I actually, did not realize that. How do I have research levels in Pokemon? I have tasks completed. Okay. See? We're learning.
Yeah, oh totally. And when you have been out playing in the world for a while and you go and you talk to the Professor Laventon, he talks to you about Pokemon you've caught while you've been out. And you get a cash reward based on the number you've caught, the number of new species you've caught, the number of alpha species you've caught. But it's all focused on just having caught Pokemon, and you get money because of that. Then it goes through and checks your research progress. How many research tasks did you complete? How many Pokemon entries did you complete? And you get points towards a level track. And it's a level track that isn't like exponentially bigger, but is every level is more than the last. And you, as you get higher research levels, or like they're actually like stars within the organization you're in Team Galaxy, actually, it's funny. There's a lot of homages to what's going on in Diamond and Pearl throughout this entire game. Characters like your boss just looks like Cyrus. Which
well,
is really
we're gonna get into some Lovitz here in a little bit, but yeah, I don't want to dive like super deep into mechanics. Can I just fire off some questions for you? Because I think the listeners might get a lot of that, and also it was your idea, so I want to do it. So how do I give a Pokemon food? So like
you just tab over to food in your bag and you throw it on the ground, and wild Pokemon will come eat it.
But wait. Can I not feed my Pokemon?
You cannot feed Pokemon you already own.
Oh, this has definitely been my problem.
No, and the reason you throw food is because it distracts the Pokemon. They focus on the food, and then you can sneak up on them and...
But I can throw any food at them, like any berry, any honeycomb, any mushroom, any...
I basically always just throw an Oranberry.
But they have preferred foods.
Oranberries. Huh?
They have preferred foods.
They have preferred foods, and for higher leveled Pokemon, they might ignore something that's not on their preferred.
Okay, okay. See, that's another tip and trick I didn't know.
Right, like if you're trying to like bag certain alphas, right? That's really good to use their preferred food.
Okay.
But, like I've never seen a Bidoof turn down any food.
Sure, I mean that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have some more questions. I have not seen an unknown yet. What role do unknown play in the game?
They are kind of like, they're very similar. There's another thing in the game that's also like Korok seeds, but they're like Korok seeds in that they are just attached
to
things and you like...
For those who don't know, those are secret unlockable things in Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
My next question, I've seen a Pikachu and I've seen an Eevee in the wild. But I go back to those same places and don't see them.
They're not 100% given to spawn in that spot.
So, wait.
Every time you leave, like, a section of the open world and come back...
Oh, I see what you're saying. They are 100% to spawn in that region.
Yes, yeah, they do come in that... If you've seen them there before, you will see them again eventually. But they're not always going to be
in that spot or in that region. That's the question here.
I am not 100% certain exactly how it's distributed, because they definitely move around where they're in, just because that's how Pokemon are in this game.
Sure.
To some degree. But, like, you know how, like, as you're running down that beginning ramp, it's always, like, Bidoofs into Starlies into Shinxes?
Yeah.
It's not so locked in with rare Pokemon.
Okay. Okay. That is helpful information.
A lot of alphas will always spawn in the same spot, though.
Yes, I have noticed that. Oh, I apparently have a shiny Hippopotas.
Another trick that I just thought of, if you switch Pokemon after you've thrown a Pokemon to, like, hit a rock or something...
Oh, I actually know this one, but keep going.
You can just throw your next Pokeball and hit another rock and, like, keep cruising, and you don't have to wait at all.
Yeah, this is one that I saw on a review of this game. I actually watched a review of this. Tried not to, like, spoil stuff for myself. So, like, watch people I trust, but there were some really cool things that I kind of learned from that, like that one where basically you can just keep walking too, because the Pokemon's always going to come back to you anyway. Yep. So you can just, you know.
No, it's totally like as you're running through the world and like you can throw your Pokeball at anything you could pick up on the ground.
Yeah,
and they'll
so
pick
that
it up for you.
That was the tip, right? Because like you'll find like Iron Chucks later in the game, for example, and there's so much stuff to be picked up. It kind of reminds me of, like, farming in Valheim, where, like, it's kind of just your task. Like, you just, like, all right, I'm running out of resources. Let's just do a run around this region for this, go put it all in a box, grab my stuff, then go do my adventure, right?
Yeah.
And I think that for a lot of our listeners that have played, I mean, I think our listeners have thought about playing Valheim, Stardew Valley, Breath of the Wild is probably one that most of them have played. That's a really good tip, right? Like,
yeah, oh, it's huge. Other things that are cool within that, a flying Pokemon and a feather ball will be thrown farther and faster than a normal Pokeball.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. Can we... Also, this is a tip from me for people. I know that, you know, historically a lot of gamers like to just smash A buttons. This game is actually really good. I think I mentioned this earlier in the podcast. This game is actually really good at giving you tips at times where they're useful, rather than like, I actually saw a TikTok about this too, which is really funny, because I'm an A button masher too, but this game actually specifically doesn't give you a tip until it's useful pretty often. And if you don't mash the A button, you will be less frustrated with your gameplay.
As you read these tips, or just in general.
Like, a lot of games are just, like, they just front-load you with way too much information, and this game does a really good job of, like, okay, you're getting a little bit farther, you might want to know this thing.
Yeah.
You're getting a little bit farther, you might want to know this thing. I would also say read item descriptions.
Yep.
So a really good example of this is heavy balls.
Heavy balls are awesome.
They're super powerful. But also, they don't go far because they're heavy.
They also suck. They are for 100% when you can get a successful sneak up on a Pokemon.
Yeah.
They are bad at all.
So, like, this, you have, like, stealth spray plus stunning the Pokemon plus heavy ball is, like, probably an instant capture. Like, that's just, you're just going to capture that thing.
And also, specifically, like, a back strike.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
The center of a Pokemon's back. It's not a very wide piece of the radius of a Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's, like, pretty much, like, if it is facing directly away from you. And it's not, like, if you hit it on the back region of the Pokemon. It's relative position to you. Like, even if you're hitting on
I was just going to say that. You can get a back catch from the side. That's actually how I caught the first alpha that I caught. Also, I would also say that, like, pay attention to alpha levels. It's not, like, for me, I wasn't doing this to start, and I have, like, pretty low level alphas that are worse than other Pokemon that I already have, that I've already spent a lot of stuff on their EVs and, like, stuff like that. It seems to me that, like, you know, you catch what you're going to catch, but I would say that you're going
to
be...
I've got a lot of alphas that instantly are upgrades to everything on my team.
Yeah, I have two. I'm just saying, like, I have two specifically that I caught that were actually downgrades,
sure.
And I didn't realize it. And, you know, it probably wouldn't be hard to make them upgrades, like, it probably wouldn't take very long. But, yeah. Should we move on from tips and tricks to Lovitz? Because I have...
Absolutely.
Could be betters first. Because yeah. I kind of want
to... It's just in general the right way to do
it. Yeah, I agree. All right.
My first one's a joke.
No, you can do yours.
I'm just sad. When you mentioned getting a Bulbasaur, I was like, oh, I want a Bulbasaur in this game. I like Bulbasaur. That's all.
I do think that it's a punt that like, the original trio is not, like...
Well, it is and it isn't, right? Like, it is odd that there are some Pokemon from, like, gens that we hadn't even seen in Sinnoh, right, when we first visited Sinnoh. It's odd that some of those Pokemon are in this game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Oshawott and Rowlet, as examples, right, are, like, a little, like, weird. Like, where'd they go? Right? But also, like, for the most part, it is Pokemon that exist in the Sinnoh region, and you... There's definitely an emphasis on, like, Pokemon that were a big part of Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, literally the team you start out with is your starter, a Bidoof, a Starly, and a Shinx. Like, yeah, literally, it plays into the meme.
And Ponyta being the only fire type in all of Sinnoh.
Yeah, like, it's also a part of it. It's just so funny.
You can get, by the way, all of the Sinnoh starters in this game.
Oh.
And they're around, like, you know,
That's good to know. I have a few could be betters that I'll fire off really. The Noble Bulbasaur one I think is a good one though. Or do you have more? I don't know why I'm stopping you.
Oh, I think that the first 3 hours of the game are oftentimes a little slow. There's kind of a lot of talking and there's a lot of
Dude, money. There is a lot of talking.
And basically
can I
feel 100% of the time that when I am leaving the field and going back to town that I am, like, choosing to put fun aside for a moment.
Yeah, so this, I'm just going to add on to yours. I have one huge could be better for this game. And it is, I started playing Pokemon when I could read, right? But Pokemon has evolved past that. And let me tell you, if you had voice acting in this game, my son could play it without any help.
True.
he is 5 years old. He is, he knows all of his letters. He, but like, you know, he's this close to reading.
Yeah, he can tell his moves apart.
Oh yeah, he can see words and know what those words are.
Yeah.
Right? But like, he can't read yet. He just needs to learn to blend. Once he learns to blend, he's good. This game needed voice acting. Like, I know that's a lot to ask of Game Freak, because
I think that we don't say this enough. Animating every single Pokemon in every Pokemon game.
To be fair, timeout. So they didn't do that in the last one.
That's true.
Let's just be clear.
Are you talking about Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl?
No. Well, that one too, actually.
That's not Game Freak.
That's true. I was talking about Sword and Shield. Okay, you're right. You're right. Oh man, I can't talk about Sword and Shield without getting mad.
Okay, then let's not.
They didn't give every Pokemon. They gave them animations in the wild area, in the, or whatever it's called.
In your campsite.
And your campsite, but they did not give them combat animations.
That's fine. I don't care.
Good for you. It bugged me for some reason.
Like, this game is better because it only has to do 200 something odd Pokemon.
Right. No, it's absolutely true. Also, I also love that about, to be fair, Sword and Shield. I liked that they didn't have the whole Pokedex and they didn't have to worry about it. They could release something. I would rather them release something good than something subpar. Like, but I do think.
Okay, so more good. Could be betters that I have from this
game. Oh, well, let me add on to your one that you have about the, like,
leaving town, going back to town.
No, just, well, that one. But, like, you talk about how there's a lot of talking in the first 3 hours. If that talking was voice acted, it wouldn't feel as...
It's meaningful.
Yeah, I think that if they had done voice acting, at least during the scenes while you're in the scenes, at least, it would have been completely different.
Yeah.
I didn't need voice acting at all, right? But I feel like, now to go into your other one, like, that you feel like you're leaving fun, if I'm sitting down at the dinner table with Don's clone and Professor What's-His-Name, like, and we're having an actual conversation that I can hear, it really elevates this game a lot, and it doesn't feel, like, it feels like, okay, I am leaving the fun zone, but I'm going to participate in this story, whereas... I don't know.
It's
things
that are happening. Yeah.
Yeah. I do find myself bashing my A buttons during those scenes where I don't think that I would do that if I could hear them.
Yeah.
And that could be because I'm an audio type person anyway, but.
Yeah, and just I think that, like, you know, we never see more repetition of the same side characters in any other Pokemon game. Like, the amount of time you see the Diamond and Pearl clan leaders in this game, or it's like, do they have jobs? I don't think they do. And that's cool. That's awesome. I kind of like that. I really find that there are moments when, like, the what slopes I can scramble up but can't scramble up, and I feel tempted to, like, sometimes see if, like, I can force it. Like, that's a little weird at times.
I definitely Skyrim the heck out of this game. Like,
I know. There's a lot of, like, walking sideways up slopes.
Tip and trick. In Skyrim, if you roll...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you
yeah.
go... There's you, some of that. You do that. And in this game, you do it way more than in Skyrim. Like, I have gotten into inappropriate places I'm quite sure I'm not supposed to be able to get into.
No, you are. Like, they want you to be able to get far out of your depth very fast in this game.
Oh, that okay. Okay.
Because, for the most part, you don't have to battle any wild Pokemon. And you can catch those wild Pokemon and, like...
And not use them.
The ability to use them is mediated by your ability to complete research tasks, right? Sure. Like, so, like, I don't know what to do with a level 40 Machoke either, right? Like, I have to learn a lot. But, like... and also, like, basically from the moment you get wordier as a ride Pokemon, walking is wrong. Unless you're doing things. But if you're trying to get somewhere, you gotta ride. And if you're trying to get up things, you gotta ride.
I actually have not found writing to be more effective getting up things.
Oh, now, I have, for sure.
Now,
you can jump.
So, okay.
Than you can roll.
Can we talk about my next could be better, or do you have any more?
I'll think of more, but go ahead.
Why is Nintendo the worst at making control schemes for their games? You play an Xbox game or a PlayStation game, the controls are completely intuitive.
The number of times I've opened the map when I want to look at my Pokemon is a million.
I'll go play like some Xbox game for 20 hours, right? And then I'll be like, you know what this made me want to do? This made me want to play Breath of the Wild. I play Breath of the Wild for like 10 minutes. I'm like, who designed this control scheme?
Should not be ZRing through tabs.
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And this game is a frontline offender with Breath of the Wild.
It classically doesn't let you remap. Right, that's the double whammy. Right?
It is
that control scheme that I can remap. I
legit like you. It's funny because like to get to the freaking screen to read those research tasks, I like was like looking at my overlay, looking at my controller. It should not. Why is it why does my plus button do literally nothing in this building? My minus button opens my map.
Yep.
What? And then my up button is my back.
And your Pokemon.
Oh, and your Pokemon. That's true. Also,
it took me a long time to figure out how to save.
Can I give you a tip, though? Oh, dude, saving took me a long time to figure out, too. And I actually lost. I was really... Actually, this is a huge could be better. Do not tell me your game has autosave at the very beginning of a game. And then don't autosave after I do the first three tasks of the game.
Wait, really?
Dude, it doesn't autosave until, like...
It autosaves between places. It autosaves when you catch a Pokemon.
It does not. It does not.
It does autosave when you catch a Pokemon.
Hold on. Sure. Time out. I went all... Not the first three Pokemon you catch.
Okay,
in the...
maybe not those ones.
I went all the way to inside my house to sleep, and it did not autosave.
Wow, okay. I mean, yeah, that was a complaint in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, too, is that autosaves were not clear when they would happen.
And here's the thing. Like, I have a real problem when I lose the save data at the beginning of a game. It is like...
It makes you like...
It's
stop
excruciating
playing the game.
For me. Yeah. I was actually worried about doing this podcast. Like, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. And I was texting a friend of the show, Matt Kling. Like, I have to play this game. But I know that I have to play the first 15 minutes again. And like, it sounds excruciating to me.
It's actually the ADHD person's nightmare.
Oh, dude. I was in hell the whole time.
Yeah.
But no, the control layout is, like, I thought that Breath of the Wild was, like, the worst it could possibly get. Because, let's be clear, that game's control scheme is terrible. I do have a tip, though. I switched to the GameCube controller for this game. Not as bad.
Nicer?
Huh. Yeah, like, it makes sense.
The D-pad's bigger?
If the D-pad is a real D-pad, it's bigger. Also, having the X button be how you switch stuff isn't as big of a deal, because it's, like... Just directly to the side instead of, like, right in your face. And then, like, roll being the other side button is pretty nice.
Yeah.
You're, like, looking at your controller. You're like, I want to try
this.
No,
I've been playing on the cool third-party Joy-Cons that you suggested to me. And I've been pretty happy with them.
Oh.
And I think that, just in general, like, I don't know. I've definitely, lots of times, I open the wrong menu to get where I'm going all the time, of course.
Oh, dude. This game's control scheme is a nightmare. I think those are all my could-be-betters, though.
But it all transitions
quickly,
which is nice.
I do have one more. You actually mentioned it in the show. I think that the damage output by Pokemon makes actual zero sense. I've thought about this a lot, and level to damage to typing, it almost feels random.
Well, technically, it's always been a little random, but yes, I agree that there are times when I do not understand how it plays
like out. My Pokemon died to a tackle from an 11 level lower Pokemon that, like, I just, what? That's obviously a hyperbole and not a real example, but there have been multiple times where I'm really confused.
Basically, any time I feel like my Pokemon are taking super effective attacks.
Oh, they're going to die. Fainting. Yeah, they're going to die. They're fainting. Thank you.
And revives are expensive.
It's not called fainting anymore either, though. It's called...
Not fainting?
No, they changed the name again.
Okay.
Anyway.
Doesn't bother me much. That part.
Well, I said the wrong thing, and I was reading the screen to Maxwell. And I was like, oh, that's not what it says. I don't even remember what it said. Those are my biggest complaints. I have a lot of Lovitz, though.
Oh, yeah. The game is...
Okay, pop off. Go. You go first.
I like crafting Pokeballs. That's fun.
Oh, dude, I heard a lot of complaints about the crafting system, but, like, dude, the fact that I can craft, like, just... The fact that... Hold on. They took also, the best part about... Oh, go ahead.
All prices in this game are, like, the price of the whole item is literally just the cost of components.
Yeah. Also, I have a question for you. If I go catch 11 Starlies, what do I get in monies?
I have no idea.
Ooh, we should know that for the listeners.
It also is dependent on your level within...
Because you get more... Now I need to go figure this out. Now I'm sad that I leveled up.
But basically, unless you are wasting Pokeballs or wasting resources in trying to sneak up on Pokemon, it is always...
net positive?
Yes.
That's good to know. Cool.
And when accounting for, like, the things you scavenge, and, like, maybe you're like, oh, I don't want to go buy all of the, like enough of, like, Great Balls or whatever. But I am willing to go
I've literally never bought a Pokeball.
Yeah,
or
I am willing to go buy, like, some for a good bit cheaper of the, like metal shards that I need, the iron fragments that I need in order for that Pokemon ball. Like, and that's, like, more cost efficient. That's fine by me. Also, quick tip, the quests where it's like, go give this guy three of this root and I will upgrade the shop. One of the Ginkgo clan merchants just sells all those things, and you can just go buy three and then go finish the quest right then and there.
Dude, that's dope. Pop off, though. I want more Lovitz.
Oh, I love all the homages to characters in Pokemon. There is literally a character that is just from a mainline Pokemon game that is just in this world and no one knows why.
I have...
And he's awesome. I love him so much.
So I have a few things that I want to... I actually really love that I was playing Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl before playing this game.
Yeah, it was well-timed.
Like... Obviously, they knew that, and that's why they hired another company to make that happen, and so that they could put more resources into this. But, like, if you tweeted BS about Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl and then played this game and love it, you owe Nintendo an apology. Like,
yeah,
need to literally go apologize, because it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And, like, I can't believe that, like, dude, I hadn't played Diamond and Pearl since I was, what, 16? When did that game come out? I hadn't played Diamond
Before
and Pearl. I had not played Diamond and Pearl. You know what, though? I had started Platinum, like, last year. But, yeah, Diamond and Pearl came out in North America when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm 31. I'm an old man. Playing Pokemon games and podcasting, but I need to reevaluate my life choices.
No, I like the things I love about this game are, like, amazing. Like, there's just so much there. Like, I, like, just for every region, I didn't really want to move on to, like, I'd completed the goals of that region. I didn't want to move on until I'd been everywhere at least. And, like, I was, like, trying to force myself my ways into places that, like, you're not supposed to based on the Pokemon you have, and I'm still going to try and figure it out, right? Like, how can I jump at the right time to cross most of the river and not drown, right? Like, or things like that.
Dude, you can keep going. That was the first time I drowned in this game. I was like, how am I drowning? I'm like on the ground.
The catching, like, the Gyarados that's flying around the Obsidian Fieldlands was just a brilliant experience of, like, watching its pattern of flying again and again and then throwing a Feather Ball at the right time and hitting it and being like, yeah, I got a Gyarados! This is sweet! Like, you know. I love the new evolutions. They're fun. Most of them evolve in weird ways, which is super cool. Like, and having to look them up is okay, because usually when I play a new Pokemon game, there's evolutions you have to look up. That just happens, right? I love that when you evolve Pokemon, it is not a, like, this is happening, I'm evolving it. It's like, this Pokemon can evolve now. And the reason that's in the game, Spencer, is because for Pokemon that you, like, only get one of, or it's going to be a long time until you get another one of them, you're going to need to pass off their data.
Yeah, I...
using them. And if you evolve too early, then... you don't can't do that anymore.
Yep, I realized that too late.
Yep, and I love that you can swap out moves just in the field anytime, right? Like, there's never a cost to unlearning a move. You'll just get it back, and sure, you cost some PP, whatever, right? Like, just go take a nap. I really like that, like, potions upgrade into the next level of potion. Like, that's kind of
that cool. Was really intuitive. I like that too.
I don't know, this game is just, like, really satisfying to play, and, like, ganking a Pokemon from the tall grass is the opposite of how it's supposed to go, and that's really fun.
I like that. I have a few love-its. I love seeing the world of Pokemon in this new light. Like, I don't know that I ever needed or wanted a Pokemon origin story. I don't even know that that's what I'm really getting, but, like, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just appreciate it more than I thought I would. I love the callbacks. Like, is it weird that I feel weird working for Team Galaxy?
Yes. No, I mean, it's not weird. It's not weird at all. and, like, no, I don't think it's weird at all, and I'm, like, intrigued to know if it's, like, Team Galaxy, like, an institution throughout, or is it, like, that Cyrus is reviving the Team Galaxy of old?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Team Galactic in...
Right, you're right. But so it's...
a little bit different, but...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I actually love the Wardens. They're all just, like, absurd characters, and I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, the Cleaver Warden is just, like, a boy. And I think that's funny.
Yeah, and the cowboy hat was, like...
What did you think... Okay, we haven't talked about it at all, but boss fights in this game. What did you think of the boss fight?
Oh, it was actually going to be one of my love-its. Do you want me to go into it?
Yeah.
Dude, I loved the first boss fight that I did. Like, legitimately, one of the best things that this game does is it takes... the things that I already love about Pokemon, and if I want to do those things, I get to do those things, right? Like, if I want to go battle wild Pokemon to level up my Pokemon and grind, I can do that.
Yeah, and you can, like, grind on, like, hard things, too. Like, it's...
Right, yeah, I can just do that. If I want, you know, something different, I can do that. And it offers this very... You know, it does... We talked about this during the earlier segments, but, like, I had a real problem with, you know what's funny, now that I'm thinking, as I was about to voice his opinion, I want to say something. Sun and Moon, I think, was supposed to be their attempt at the Orange Islands for a video game. Mm-hmm. And I would have just rather them giving me the Orange Islands video game. And this game, like, learning, like, okay, I just need to make him run into a tree. Run into this big tree, and then it's you know, it's hats from there. That was cool. That was, like, a cool puzzle to solve. But it didn't take away from the other parts that I already loved. Like, I still need to beat this guy.
Yeah. And it's cool that it's like, you can just dodge until they daze themselves, and then you can throw your Pokeball in, and then they're dazed, and you can throw a bunch at them. Or, like, you can be like...
you can't throw a Pokeball at them, right?
Ignoring the mechanics, taking damage, trying to throw as many as you can.
Wait, hold on. Like, you can't throw a Pokeball at them.
No, you throw out your Pokemon and fight it.
Oh, okay, sorry. No, it's okay. I was like, you can't catch these things, man.
No. But,
it's
cool. I like that they're larger than life.
Yeah, it really took you into this. Oh, I literally have my game open, and I just got attacked by a Pokemon while we were talking.
Nice.
Geodude. Let me just, this is great for the podcast. All right, we're good now. But I love that. Like,
the game has the important Switch quality of, like, 5 minutes of gameplay feels as satisfying as an hour.
No, it really does. Like, you know, we just talked about how I love that Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl came out before this. And, like, that game was really fun. Like, I really, really enjoyed that return to classic Pokemon. But I think that the thing that I want, and the thing that this game taught me, and probably the biggest love that I have for this game, because obviously the open world's great, like, we could go on and on about Lovitz for the world. That I think that the world looks beautiful. I know that people are like, oh, the graphics are bad. What? I don't care. Shut up.
Who plays Nintendo for the graphics?
Like, shut up. Like, go play Xbox.
Go play Xenoblade Chronicles.
That
game looked sweet.
Anyway.
It looked good.
I get to explore a whole new world we live in, a brand new place to see, but I get to do it in a way... I knew you'd like that, and I wish you hadn't called it out on screen. I get to do it in this new way with callbacks to things that I love, right? Like, if I walk up to a Pokemon, I can battle it, but I also don't have to. Do you know how many Zubats I just caught out of spite in this game?
Yeah, I don't want to deal with you.
Like, straight up, just like, you know what, actually... Thank you.
And when you're well and truly done with them, you can just hop on Wordier and ride right past them.
Exactly. I think this game... I don't want to say it, because I don't want to be held to it later. It could be my favorite Pokemon game ever. Like, I haven't beaten it yet, but, like... It might be Ruby, Sapphire, and X and Y, dude. Like...
It's got, like... There are things in this game that no other Pokemon game has ever come close to providing.
Yeah. It's
and
funny,
the
right?
Things that other Pokemon games have that this doesn't provide are...
Things you don't want anyway. I don't want to use... I don't want to go into a dark cave and use Flash. If I have to do that in this game, by the way, I might be mad for what it's worth.
I do not believe that is ever a concern. Do not worry.
Okay.
Basically, the only HMs you ever need to use are Ride Pokemon, right? Like, that's it.
Yeah, I think it took the best of Pokemon, put it into an open world game, and now I just get to play that. And honestly, like, you know those games that, like, you're going to be sad when you finish them?
I played one of those this last week.
Is it this one?
Yeah.
Can I ask, though, did you complete the Pokedex?
No, I'm not close to, like... finished with this game.
But the thing is,
the story of this game.
So one of the things that I knew going in that I should have mentioned is that we know going in, they told us, like, listen, it's going to be really hard to complete the Pokedex in this game. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, there's Pokemon all over the world. Like, you're just going to catch them. But that's not how you complete the Pokedex.
No,
in this
like,
game.
But Doof took a while to complete, right? Like, let alone, like harder to find Pokemon
I'm going to be 100% honest with listeners. I've only 100%ed one Pokemon game ever. It was Blue Version. It was the only one I ever did. And there was a lot of Mysterios involved in doing that. I might do this one. Like,
I do want to, like, make sure that, like, when I have the time, I spend time and, like, keep grinding out Pokemon.
The thing is this game is, like, So the last game, I just did a video about like how I was a little sad to complete the story for Red Dead Redemption 2. I like finished it and I was like, man, that's like, I didn't want that to end. And I fully believe I will feel that way with this game. And it's like one of those things where like,
I mean, fortunately, finishing the plot of this game does not end the good part of this game.
No, that's true. It's true. I think that my biggest lover for this game is that I will be sad when I finish it. It'll be one of those things.
That feeling of emptiness that comes of like you were obsessed with something for a while and then it isn't there anymore.
Maybe. Like.
That's how you feel when you finish a book.
That is the example I was going to use. So my biggest love of it is that's how good this game. This game is as good as a book.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's sweet. It's a fun game. I like thorough. Like you know how hard it is for me to like sit down and play an RPG.
Dude, I haven't talked to you in like since this game came out. This is literally the first time you would talk to me. I had no illusions as to what you were doing, West. I knew exactly what you were doing.
Well, that in school, but yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, this game was sweet. Like, I stayed up till 2 a.m., I think, the night I finished it.
I definitely have... well, I've been sick the last few days. Like, and it says I only played 10 hours, which seems not true, because I played a lot of this game. But yeah, the next thing on our show notes is, like, I feel like I didn't give enough lovets to this game. But I feel like I would just be...
It. You're going to love things in this game.
Yeah.
There's too many to name. I love the outfits my character can wear in this game. I love
Oh, headbands. That's a huge love for me. I don't know if people have noticed this about me. Like, I became a headband guy over the last, like...
Sure, and seeing your character doing the same thing is kind of sweet.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a could be better, though. Hairstyles, not
make
good.
Make it better.
Oh, that's good to know, because they suck
like,
at the start.
At a certain point, like, you're asked by the hairstylist, like... Can you go catch this Pokemon and show it to me because
I want to learn
from its hair.
Cool. The next point in our show notes is why should people play this game, but like...
Did we not do it already?
Honestly, you probably wouldn't have gotten an hour and however long this is, like an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it is now, into this podcast without wanting to play this game. But if somehow you did... you should just go buy this game. It is revolutionary. I hope I get Legends, Mewtwo Legends, Mew, like, I don't even care the name. Legends Suicune.
I do want to play Pokemon Legends Rayquaza. That's going to be a sweet game.
Pokemon Legends Mewtwo might actually be like...
Mewtwo can't work. Mewtwo's not a historical figure in Pokemon.
Okay. I don't like where you're going with this.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, Mewtwo didn't exist until it was made in the laboratory.
Alright, whatever. Pokemon Legends Mew sounds like a great game.
That sounds great. I would love to go
play. Actually, that game does sound... Now that I've said that out loud, like, I want to go play that game tomorrow.
Yeah. Pokemon Legends Mew sounds awesome.
Yeah. I feel really lucky. I said this at the beginning of the show, but, like, 11-year-old me would have lost it. Like...
11-year-old me wouldn't have appreciated this game for what it was.
Oh, man.
Like, if I was 11 years old and games coming out right now, I know that, like, there are just too many good options.
I feel that way as a 31-year-old, dude. Like,
but what I'm saying is, like, you're discerning as a 31-year-old. As an 11-year-old, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
Yeah, that's fair. Who gave me disposable income? You're an idiot. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. You can find me at Spencer13H. You can find West at East_monotone. You can find the show everywhere you can find a podcast. I want to quickly, before we talk about liking, subbing, and reviewing, talk about something. Our podcast is hosted on a platform called Anchor. And Anchor is owned by Spotify. And while I wish very deeply that we could remove ourselves from Spotify to protest some of the stuff that's been going on, we can't. It is not feasible for us to do so. So I would ask you this. If you are listening to us on Spotify, go to another platform. and review us there and like us there. We're on YouTube. We're on iTunes. You want to say something, West?
Well, I was going to say that...
this is how monopolies work, right? Like
you know, don't boycott Spotify because of Joe Rogan. Boycott Spotify because paying artists real money for what they make is good, right? Like, and Spotify doesn't do that.
Well, yeah, the platform that we're on has advertising, for what it's worth, and our podcast has ads on that advertising. West, how much money have I paid you from that advertising?
You still haven't even gotten the already existing used headphones that you said you would give me?
Oh, they broke.
No, but I'm saying, as an example of how much you paid
me. No, like, literally, we've made $0 from this podcast on a platform where we're, I mean, West, I haven't told you this, but we've broken 1,000 listeners on that platform.
Cool.
Like 1,000 and like $0.
Well, I mean, YouTube wasn't going to turn up any money either, right? Like, this
we're not eligible for money on YouTube. I'm just providing your point the same way, right? Like, this Spotify is
streaming everywhere is really not the way to make money. In making art, if you appreciate an artist, and if that's us, if that's someone else, go buy their stuff on Bandcamp, go to their Patreons, go buy their merch.
Yeah, I, in all honesty, like, while Joe Rogan is the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Straw that breaks the camel.
Yeah, hey, while he's the straw that, like, listen, anyone who pretends anything other than, like, Joe Rogan's doing, like, you know, doing damage to the world is just wrong. Like, but that's not the problem here. The problem here is that they are prioritizing him over the actual people that make their platform what it really is, which is the musical artists, the podcasters, it's not the Joe Rogan Spotify. It's
exclusive podcasts to Spotify have always felt weird to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that part just in general felt odd. It's like, that's not how podcasting seems like it's supposed to work. Like, how is it a podcast if I can't get it in RSS feed?
Oh, well, right? Or an RSS feed. But I have a bigger question, because I've actually never looked into this. How do you get the Joe Rogan podcast exclusive to Spotify if it's a video podcast?
That's an even better question, and I think we should stop our discussion right there.
Like and sub and review. Just do it everywhere else but Spotify. And, you know, maybe they'll take us down. Maybe they'll be like, you know what? We don't need your 1,000 listeners. Bye.
We are so, so inconsequential.
I know. It just doesn't even matter to them. Next week, West, I put this in here, but I wanted to post. Do you actually know what we're talking about on our next show?
In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks, yes.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, my vision is like a dark moment and then like a silhouette of a being and a red lightsaber. We're watching the sequels, right?
I believe our next episode is the Star Wars sequels.
Yeah.
And it is my most...
thinking the Force Awakens trailer.
You're thinking the Force Awakens trailer? It is... I'm not gonna lie, man. This is my most dreaded episode to create in the show's history. And so I just ask the listeners that when you listen, know that I've been scared
to talk about this for a long time.
I'm like legit terrified.
Okay, one of our most consistent things we've done as a podcast is say let Star Wars fans love Star Wars.
It's true.
So if you're still here, but you're going to bring the vitriol when we make that episode, wow.
I was sick the last 3 days, and I watched all of them.
Nice.
And I have some thoughts. So in 2 weeks from now, we won't be talking Book of Boba Fett. We'll be talking the Star Wars sequels. You can talk. It's fine.
Was that a sign-off?
No, that's it. The episode's over.
My big monkey Infernape is one of my favorite Pokemon in...
Oh, you have one? To be fair, I'm still recording, but...
I know.
Oh, okay. I want to say this for like the post show. I am so sick of Star Wars fans. Like, the number of people are like, oh, that show was so corny. I'm like, have you watched A New Hope? What part of Star Wars isn't corny?
Actually, when it was the Star Wars, it wasn't corny.
Wouldn't that
the
make
the moment you make it part of a series, it's corny. I'm telling you.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It's all corny. Like, if you've seen anything that's like a Dave Filoni and
Spoiler alert! If this makes it into the podcast, but like Boba Fett riding in on a Rancor was like freaking
so sick. So sick.
Like, we were like, Rancor, oh, that's so.
Flaming Tower was sick.
Like, yeah, people are like, oh, this is like a Godzilla scene. It's like, yeah, and it was cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. What do you like? Shut up! Like, let people enjoy things, you Neanderthal. Like, shut up.
That feels bad. Poor Gamorreans. I did not like their end. They did not.
Yeah, that sucked. That sucked. But, you know, it's good. This game's great.
I like how Wookiees are unkillable, apparently.
Yeah, that was.
And the Gamorreans just
we don't know what happened when those five guys got on top of him. You know, that's something for Pornhub to figure out.